Kix 106.5.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. It's Kramer and Jess. Kramer is out on vacation. He is in Utah, so it's Girls Week on the show. It's myself. It's Charlotte. Girls Week Eva laugh. Okay, listen, before we even get started, let's do our Thursday thing, our one more sleep chant. If you're new here, we just chant one more sleep 3 times and we cheer because you are one sleep away from Friday. So let's get into it.
One more sleep. One more sleep. One more sleep. Woo!
Yes. I love it. Y'all. There was a fire at my apartment complex yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yes.
Like last night?
Or
during the day?
Like late afternoon into nighttime.
What?
It was insane.
Is everyone okay?
Thank God. Everyone is okay. Thank God everyone was able to get out, but it was in the building, I think like a couple over from ours. And I think the scariest thing was I had no idea that this was going on until Garage Boy calls me. He's on his way back from the gym and he's like, I can't even get on the street to the apartment. Like everything was blocked off. It took him 40 minutes to even get on the street for him to be able to park on the street, like 5 minutes down next to our apartment complex. And here's the scariest thing. Now I'm gonna just share some tea because I think it's not looking good for my apartment complex. The building that it actually happened in, nobody heard the alarm. So the reason why people even got out was because thank God everybody was awake because they started smelling smoke and feeling heat.
So the alarm just like didn't go off or something?
No, girl.
That's actually so scary.
And this building was smoking. Like, and it was on fire forever. When I tell you.
It was like a big part of the building?
Yeah, well, it was. So how my apartment complex is set up is like, it's almost like there's a ton of like buildings next to each other.
Yeah.
But it also is a very like older unit. It's not like it's been there for a long time. It's not renovated or anything like that. And that's why when I was, you know, I went over, we would try to be like, hey, does anyone need any help? Is everybody okay? And everyone was just kind of like, I can't believe that we didn't hear it. So that was the main thing. But it was just so, y'all, I've never seen that many fire trucks before. Everybody was standing outside holding their pets and everything like that. Like, it was very scary. It kind of freaked me out because I'm like, yo, I need to pay better attention because I didn't know. Like, I mean, I was just cooking and like doing chores and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't hear anything either.
That's actually very scary. They need to test the entire fire system immediately.
Something needs to go down, but I'm just so thankful. Thank God everyone's okay and everybody is safe. But like, if I'm a little tired this morning, like we were up very late last night figuring stuff out. So I apologize in advance if I'm all crazy over here, but that's what went down last night. It was kind of crazy.
So glad you're all okay.
Dude, same.
Scary.
Now.
These are the top 3 trending stories in the city.
The Baltimore top 3 with Jess. Number 3.
Maryland is getting its own Coca-Cola can, and it's tied to America's birthday. The can will be part of Coca-Cola's line of limited edition America 250 mini cans, honoring each state with unique designs. And Coca-Cola actually hosted a VIP tour at its Baltimore Production Center yesterday, and Governor Westmore was able to get a firsthand look at the production process of the limited edition cans. And they've actually already been released, so make sure to keep an eye out next time. And just so you know what you're looking for, the Coca-Cola cans are going to be the same, so they're still going to be like red with the silver. You have to turn it around, and that's where you're going to see the MD on the back, and then they put a little crab as well in there. Have you seen these yet, Char?
I just found it on Instagram. I'm posting it right now so everyone can see, but it's really cute. I really like the little crab and the star.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, if you want to go see it, you can check out on our Instagram story. Charlotte's posting it right now at Kramer and Jess on IG if you want to check it out.
Number 2.
Grillo's Pickles is jumping into another collab. The brand and Smoothie King are rolling out a pickle smoothie ahead of International Pickle Day on May 16th. So the smoothie mixes Grillo's Pickles with bananas, kale, and coconut water. So you can actually grab the smoothie now. So they released it. But then if you're trying to get a little free for me action on a pickle day this Saturday, you can get a free 4-ounce pickle smoothie at Smoothie King while supplies last. Yo, we need to try this, Charlotte.
I definitely think we do. And I was about to say like, oh no, but then I remembered that the guys from The Fan let us try that pickle beer the other day.
Oh.
And it actually kind of slapped.
Wait,
so
you're so right. I'm so sorry. We can't remember the name of the beer or anything.
What was it?
Was it a PBR?
I don't even know that I saw the can.
Okay, yeah.
I'm so, sorry.
We got to find that out. But no, yeah. So Jeremy Kahn from 105.7 The Fan, they were trying like some pickle beer and they came over and gave some to Charlotte and I. And obviously it's pickle beer, hello. But I was shocked on how pickly it actually smelled. I was thinking it was maybe we were going to get like little hints or notes of pickles. But like I swear to you.
It was straight pickle.
It was straight pickle.
But
it was like, yo.
Kind of good.
It was.
Weirdly.
So I am curious about this smoothie and maybe that might have to be our to bay or not to bay item for next week.
I like it.
Yeah, we'll see about that one.
Number one.
Niall Horan is going on tour and he's making a stop right here in Baltimore. The former One Directioner and global superstar has announced the North American run of Niall Horan Dinner Party Live on Tour. 2027 Arena Tour. Wow, that's crazy. I don't think I've said 2027 yet this
year.
That
feels like a fake year.
Does it?
Like, that doesn't feel real.
And that does not feel real.
I mean, 2026 doesn't even sound real, to be fair.
You're right. No. Okay. Anyways, yeah, this is real. A 2027. Yeah. Sorry. We just had a moment there because that feels weird to say. A 2027 arena tour supporting his new album Dinner Party. So his new album is actually releasing next month, and you can look forward to Niall Horan's new album on June 5th. And he's bringing the tour to CFG Bank Arena on April 8th, 2027. And those tickets go on sale this Friday. I'm excited. I hope that this is going to go well for him. Obviously, you know, they're in the recent weeks. There have not been the best conversations about artists going on tour.
I know.
Right? So, unfortunately, it sucks to bring that up, but that is part of the conversation. But I think when it comes to this, it's all going to come down to being cognizant of like what spaces they're going to.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I think we're going to see a lot of kind of smaller tours happen again, or smaller venues, sorry.
Which I think is great because it's way more intimate. I think that's a more fun experience for the fan, to be honest with you. So, this is Jess, and that's your top three on Mix 106.5. Good morning. Did you know that Prince was supposed to be part of We Are the World?
I did not.
Literally one of the biggest music collaborations of all time, but allegedly turned it down because of like some behind the scenes drama with one of the biggest pop stars in music history.
Wait, that's tea.
No, it's so tea.
I want to know who.
Yeah, girl. We're going to break that down in Throwback Thursday. Welcome to Throwback Thursday. This is just so much fun. It's all nostalgia. We go back and play the number one songs in previous years and we do it just because it's like the best and it's the most fun. So today, the 13th of May in 2016, the number one song was One Dance by Drake.
I pray. That's why I need a one.
I miss this Drake. Mm-hmm. I miss 2016.
It was so much simpler.
It was.
Like, this was all over. It was everywhere you went.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel like I'm like day drinking.
Girl.
Like, I'm like at the pool. I've got like a little tropical drink. I don't know. It's giving that.
No, it is giving that. And also, it was like the song of the summer before, yes. Like, there was even a song of the summer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Okay, so back in 2002, the number one song today was Ashanti with Foolish. Yo, Ashanti literally was like my favorite artist of all time for the longest time.
Really?
Yeah, I was obsessed with her. Like, are you like familiar with her catalog?
A little bit. I was a bit young.
You're
but
right,
like,
yeah.
I know her name. I mean, we play this song still all the time and it's a great song. But
it's
I
incredible.
Need to do a deep dive, I think.
Yeah, I feel like people don't give Ashanti her flowers. So she became, if you don't know, she became the first female artist to ever have her first three chart entries land in the top 10 of Billboard Hot 100 simultaneously.
That's huge.
That's massive.
Let's go, Ashanti.
No,
for
real.
That's iconic.
Yeah, so go ahead. Like, don't forget about our girl. Don't forget about our girl. Okay, so in 1999 today, the number one song on May 13th was Ricky Martin, Living La Vida Loca. I love Ricky Martin. Honestly, I think one of the most iconic moments, I don't know if y'all remember when he came out for Rihanna Savage Fenty show and nobody knew he was going to come out.
Yes.
This man comes out in a silk robe, no
He's
shirt on.
So cool.
Taking over the runway. I said, Ricky, hello. So I think what's really special about this, and again, you know what? I love doing Throwback Thursday because I feel like it's giving artists their flowers, and I think sometimes we forget because it's so long ago that they really were paving the way for a lot, and Ricky Martin is one of those people. So Livin' La Vida Loca. Obviously, like, peak 90s, from this song to the music video to the fashion in the music video, right? So this song completely changed pop music and kicked off, like, the Latin pop explosion. Mm-hmm. And he opened the door for artists like Jennifer Lopez, Enrique Iglesias, and Shakira.
And what I love about this song is it's so genre-bending. Like, it's a little bit Latin, but it's also a little bit, like, rock, a little bit pop.
You're so,
like,
right.
You know what I mean? I love it.
No, you're so right. Okay, so now, like, let's get into the tea, because I am so, so excited to get into this.
Please.
Literally, the, like, one of the biggest music collaborations of all time was the number one song in America today in 1985, We Are the World. Okay, obviously. This song is very important because it was raising money, $80 million for famine relief in Ethiopia, right?
$80 million is insane. That's amazing.
That should be the focus. However, yeah, if you have all these massively famous icons of the time in one room and also deciding who's going to be in that room, obviously, you know, some tea is going down.
There's
going
to be drama, yeah.
So, of course, you know, Michael Jackson's on this thing, of course. Lionel Richie helps him write it. Stevie Wonder's on this. Bruce Springsteen, Diana Ross, Cyndi Lauper, Billy Joel. We could probably be here the rest of the show naming off every single artist that is on We Are the World. But why, also, one of the biggest artists of the time, why was Prince not there? Why is Prince missing? Because, hello, like, what's going on?
Who is he beefing with?
Michael Jackson.
No, I was thinking it was probably Michael, but I'm sad.
And if you're wondering, was he invited? Yes. Prince was, in fact, invited to be on We Are the World in 1985. Now, the rumored tension between Prince and Michael Jackson actually had been building for quite some time. You know, why was there beef? Obviously, this was the absolute peak of both of their careers. Yeah. You have Michael Jackson with Thriller. You have Prince with Purple Rain. And obviously, they're constantly being compared, two of the biggest pop stars in the world. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of stories that kind of, like, fueled the rivalry. Now, has this ever actually been confirmed? No. But the most infamous theory of Prince's absence on one of the biggest music collaborations of all time is all because of his beef with Michael.
Wow. Michael was like, I'm the king of pop. We don't need a Prince here. No royalty.
It's Kramer and Jess on Mix 106.5. Good morning, Char. That was good.
Thank you.
That was good. I'm not going to lie. I am a little nervous right now to talk about this, just because it makes me a little emotional. Bear with me, just because I do want to share this, because I feel like it could be helpful if you've ever found yourself in a similar situation. I had a breakthrough conversation with my mom that brought me a lot of peace. And if you've ever struggled to understand or just forgive someone you love, I think what we talked about might help. My mom brought this up to me, which I thought was really special, because I know, if you've been with us for a long time, you know that I am very emotional and I am very open and share my feelings on my sleeve. But my mom is not like that. And okay, she has struggled with that for a long time. And mm-hmm. So I was so thankful that she was the one who initiated this conversation. And she basically explained to me that there was something that she was trying to teach me growing up, but it wasn't until recently that she realized it may have landed differently than she intended. Now, she did not, like, growing up, she never wanted me to rely on other people for validation. So I did not hear a lot of praise or compliments growing up.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And she explained to me that her intent was to teach me confidence. Now, as a child, I think I internalized that very differently, just because the messaging and the way that she intended to teach that lesson was not in a way that I could very much understand at that time.
Right.
And so I internalized that as, why would you expect anyone to tell you you're doing a good job? And as an adult, I carried that with me, and that turned into, why should anyone tell you you're doing a good job or give you any sort of, like, positive reinforcement if you're doing something that you're supposed to do? And also, it got really twisted in my mind, because then sometimes I have a hard time accepting compliments too. And it would make me think, like, okay, well, why are you saying this to me? Did I do something wrong for you to make me think that I needed to hear this from you or whatever?
Yeah.
And when she told me this, I was able to like express that to her. And honestly, it wasn't until our boss Tom pointed out to me that he asked me, why do you have such a hard time when I tell you that you're doing good things or like I'm like praising you in some way? Mm-hmm. And I'm really thankful to him for that, because I did not realize how much of an issue, and that made me feel uncomfortable.
You had to like think about where it was coming from.
Yeah. And so when my mom told me that her intent was to teach me confidence, you know, and that she was sorry if it came across that way, but she was just using the tools that she was given, and to be honest, weren't that many.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
And I think two things can be true. I think that something can really deeply affect you and have an impact on you. Mm-hmm. But I also think the person that has caused that can also just have been really doing the best that they could.
Yeah.
And I am about to turn 33 next week, next Friday. I'm 32 right now. I left home when I was 18. And I don't look at that conversation as being like that many years too late. I just feel like it was like on time, you know?
Yeah, I'm really happy for you. That sounds like such a beautiful and healing moment, especially because it came from her. It wasn't something where you had to sit down and say, you know, this hurts me and I carry this. And I think we were talking a bit behind the scenes about the concept of like intent versus impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something we can all look at in our own lives too, of like, when have we wanted to do something good, but it ended up maybe hurting someone? And I think it is valuable to go back years later, even if you think that person might not care, and say, hey, just wanted to let you know, like, I didn't mean for this to feel that way. And I'm so glad you got that moment.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I just wanted to share that in case you are going through something. It might be with a parent or just someone in your life that you love that has like affected you in some type of way. And I feel like maybe in both instances, they can hold space and grace for you and you can do the same. And it doesn't take away what has happened, but I feel like it could make like the healing process like a lot easier.
Yeah. And you move forward stronger together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a text on our text line that shared that she had actually went through a similar situation, and it was actually towards the end of her mom's life, but it brought her so much peace. Good morning, Susan in Anne Arundel County. So you kind of had a similar situation with your mom.
Yeah, we had like I was the oldest, and we had a super complicated relationship.
Yeah, I'm the oldest too. Yeah.
So she wasn't from this country, and she came from a very poor country, and she didn't have like education and things like that.
Yeah.
So she really pushed us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I got a 90 on a test, it was, well, that's good, but you can do better.
Right.
It was always,
right.
You can do better, you can do better.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I married, I got my college degree, went to law school. I married a plumber, and she was very disappointed because I married, you know, down, if you will. But, you know, so it was complicated, and it got to a point where talking to her was very difficult because it was constant criticism.
Yeah.
So to protect my peace, I limited our conversations. Mm-hmm. I sent her cards and things like that all the time, telling her that I loved her, but it was hard for her to understand. So there was like a lot of anger and hurt. And she was terminally ill, and she called me probably 2 weeks before she passed away and said, I'd like to talk, can you come up? So I went and visited her in the hospital, and I brought my girls.
Yeah.
And she told them what a good mom I was. And she told them how much she loved them and how much she missed being a part of their lives.
Yeah.
And she told me that I was a great mom, and she was sorry for ever making me feel less. And that I was enough, and that she loved me.
That's so
cute. And she died the next morning.
And how much did that mean to you, being able to share that moment with her?
It means everything. I have so much peace and so much closure.
Mm-hmm.
Because knowing that your mom loved you and was proud of you, even though she didn't express it, means everything.
And I think it's a testament, kind of like she didn't express it because she didn't know how, you know, and of course, again, kind of what we talked about earlier, that doesn't excuse like the work that you've had to do in your own life. And I'm sure the way that you treat your own girls. Right. But also at the same time, I think for you and also, and I can relate just to understand where that's coming from and so many elements of that. It's the reality. And like, we're all doing life for the very first time and just trying our best. And I'm just so thankful that you were able to have that final moment with her that's brought you so much peace.
It's amazing. And Kaylee and Madeline are amazing girls.
And I
Kaylee,
think
little I, Kaylee that's been listening to you forever.
Wait, you're Susan and Kaylee like squishy?
Yeah.
Susan! Susan, oh my god, you're such a good mom. Oh my god, Susan, that's making me freak out. Like, oh my gosh, I just think like it's such a blessing. I feel like I don't think it's a coincidence that you're a girl mom. We've been talking to you for so many years, and just how much joy in the relationship that you have with your girls is just a testament to who you are. And like the fact, I love you so much. Thank you so much for sharing that. Have you ever made a mistake at a new job so embarrassing you wanted to quit on the spot?
I did quit.
Oh, I can't wait to get into this. So there's a new survey found that nearly half of Marylanders say their biggest fear when starting a new job is making a mistake and looking incompetent in front of their new coworkers. Honestly, I get it. Starting something new is terrifying, especially when everyone's watching your every move and you're trying to be cool with all your new coworkers. But listen, we've all been there before. So I'm hoping that this conversation that we're about to have will make us all feel less alone and all feel less embarrassed when we make these mistakes. So what is the most embarrassing mistake you have ever made at work? Charlotte, I need to hear your story first, because now I'm intrigued.
So I worked at Yankee Candle for like 2 whole weeks in college. Friend was leaving and she had been like a key holder. So they were like, do you know anyone who could do it? And I was like, I need a job.
Wait, what's a key holder?
You're not quite a manager.
Okay.
But like, you can like open and like close up. So I got the schedule, but I mixed up which day was like the day it was. So I thought that I was coming in at 10 a.m.
Okay.
But I actually was supposed to open the store at like 7 a.m. And all these people were like calling the mall and stuff. Like, I guess people were like, we have to go to Yankee Candle at 7 a.m. right now. So they were like, hey, where you at? And I was like, ooh, maybe this isn't for me. And I just left. I was like, I was so embarrassed. I was like, I just can't show my face ever again.
So you just quit on the spot because you just did not even want to deal with the embarrassment of seeing them.
I could already tell it wasn't a good fit, but that was like, it was the kick in the pants I needed it to be like, this is just not coming back.
But you know what? It was an honest mistake.
I felt so bad.
It's one thing if you knew what time you were supposed to be at work and you deliberately were like, no, I'm not going to go
it.
But that's not what you did. And this is why we're having this conversation because.
And I was in college, so I was trying to keep track of that schedule plus this. It was totally my fault, but it happened.
It was a fair accident. Okay, we're talking about what is the most embarrassing mistake you've ever made at work. So I started a new job. I worked in the industry for about the service industry for about 10 years. And this was my very first restaurant job. And I had finally moved up to server from being a hostess.
Okay.
And exciting. I was working at this restaurant, True Food Kitchen in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, I would consider it low-key fine dining, like a hippie version of fine dining.
Nice.
But it was very complicated. There was like a lot of like allergies and recipes, and we had to know all the things. And the section I was given was literally right in the middle of the restaurant in this massive dining room. That was where my section was. And I had this long 10-top table that is right in the middle of the room. Mm. And there was a party of 10. And I was so busy. I was slammed. I had every single table somebody was sitting at, and I tried to take all of their drinks at the same time on this really massive tray.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that was my mistake. I should have done multiple trips, but I didn't want to do it because I knew that was going to put me behind and I thought I could do it, right?
Yeah.
So as I'm in the middle of this room, I'm trying to hold my tray that has like probably 7 to 10 drinks on this massive tray. I'm leaning over trying to give them all of their drinks. I leaned over too far and the entire tray falls on this woman all over her.
No.
And then the two friends that she was sitting in the middle of, they also get wet because they were there. And then I look like I peed myself because the pants that we were wearing were like light gray. Mm-mm. And they were this kind of like thin linen kind of material. So because I was in the middle of the room, when I tell you that everybody stopped, turned, and looked at me, sees all this broken glass on the ground, these women enraged, every right to be. I just spilled all of these cocktails and syrups on their clothing. Mm-hmm. And then I look like I peed myself. Mm-hmm. I could not even fathom showing my face at the restaurant.
And that's
again.
Reasonable.
You know?
Did you quit?
No.
Fair.
I didn't quit, but I was embarrassed and I said I was sick for the next 3 days. But listen, like, what is the most embarrassing mistake you've ever made at work? Char, who is on two?
Katie from Eldersburg.
Okay, Katie in Eldersburg. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made at work?
So it was my first day working at a horse rescue in Maryland, and I was taking a horse down to like get barrier work done, and he was being a bit unruly, so he like tried to take off. And when he tried to take off, I planted my feet, my pants ripped.
No.
Completely ripped down the entire inseam. But you know, you don't have an extra pair of pants, so I just walked around because it was like early morning by the time it happened. I just walked around with duct tape on my pants.
Oh,
all day.
That's a creative solution.
Wait, was it cold? Yeah. Like, was it cold when you were doing this? Like, what was the vibe?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't horrible, but I mean, it wasn't great, you know, walking around with duct tape, meeting people. It was like a huge facility, yeah.
I am so sorry. Well, first of all, thank you for even doing that. I think that's like an incredible thing to be doing, like a horse rescue. But no, you're right. You're like, hey, it's my first day. Didn't think I was going to rip my pants. So I didn't bring an extra, and now it's freezing cold. There's like dew on the grass, and I'm just out here free as a bird with the horses. What do you expect from me?
Together by duct tape.
Always have duct tape on hand.
Always have duct tape. And hey, just how I was telling you guys a little bit earlier, when I spilled all the drinks on that woman, I spilled it all on myself, and I had to finish my shift looking like I peed myself. So just know you're not alone, girl. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for that, Katie. Have a good morning.
You too.
What's the most embarrassing mistake you've ever made at work? Char, who's on three?
This is Summer from Pasadena.
Hey, Summer, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So what is the most embarrassing thing that happened to you at work?
So I have a meeting for my job every Monday at 8.
Yeah.
And one morning I woke up late. My alarm didn't go off. So the alarm for my 8 a.m. meeting turns on, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like running. I'm like going to grab my work phone, going to log on to Teams for the meeting. And little did I know that the microphone was on as well as the camera as I'm mid getting into the shower, trying to like hurry up and rush to get ready. And people, my teammates, are like texting me, and I didn't see this until after the call. And they're like, hey, just so you know, like your camera's on. And the only reason I knew that it was on during the call is because one of my teammates actually called me out, like, in the team. They were like, hey,
you're naked. Like, are you serious? You only heard it from the volume of being like, hey girl, we're seeing everything. Hello.
I was like such in a frenzy. I was trying to wake up, like we were late, my daughter was late for school.
Oh, no.
So I literally was I was 2 seconds away, like I was definitely unclothed, but I was 2 seconds away from putting the phone literally in my shower, like on the shelf, so I could listen to the meeting.
What? You were gonna take the phone with you? Oh my god.
It could have been much worse.
Oh, my. Honestly, thank God in that moment that your coworkers aren't creeps and they were just telling you like, hey, girl, mayday, hello.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, Summer, thank you so much for sharing that this morning. Hey, listen, it's happened to all of us. The embarrassing moments are going to happen. It's just a matter of like, it is what it is.
I laughed about it.
It is what it is.
I laughed about it now.
Maybe just double check on Teams next time.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Make sure you subscribe to get the show daily.
And if you think we've earned it, give us 5 stars.
Hear Kramer and Jess live every morning on Mix 106.5 Baltimore.
And check out the Kramer and Jess Uncensored podcast at KramerandJess.com.